This October 2022 deep dive is Shang and colleagues, dietary modification for reproductive health in women with polycystic ovary syndrome, a systematic review and meta-analysis, published in Frontiers in Endocrinology in 2021. What we know, think we know, or are starting to know. Polycystic ovary syndrome, PCOS, is the most common endocrine disorder in women of reproductive age, with a prevalence rate of 5 to 10%, although some estimates may be nearer to 20%, depending on the diagnostic criteria used. PCOS is driven by disturbances of the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal ovarian, HPAO, axis. The characteristic feature of PCOS is gonadotropic dysfunction, i.e. dysfunction of hormones secreted by the pituitary gland that act on maturation and function of the ovaries. Increased gonadotropin-releasing hormone, or GnRH, from the hypothalamus causes hypersecretion of luteinizing hormone, or LH, from the pituitary, which stimulates the production of androgens by the ovaries. Inadequate production of follicle-stimulating hormone, or FSH, also contributes to anovulation in PCOS. There is a critical relationship in PCOS between HPAO axis dysfunction and disordered insulin function. In women with PCOS, insulin levels influence the production of androgens, i.e. male sex hormones, from the ovaries. Insulin interacts with LH by augmenting the stimulatory effect of LH on ovarian androgen production. As a result of this HPAO axis and insulin dysfunction, PCOS appears to be the leading cause of infertility in women, secondary to the loss of ovulatory cycles. This extends to risk of miscarriage, which is increased in women with PCOS, whether pregnancy was achieved spontaneously or with assistance. So can dietary interventions make a difference to reproductive outcomes in women with PCOS? The study. The present study was a meta-analysis of dietary interventions for reproductive outcomes in PCOS. To be included in the analysis, studies had to meet the following inclusion criteria. The design were parallel arm, randomized control trials, parallel arm meaning the intervention and comparison groups ran at the same time. The population was women with a clear diagnosis of PCOS using several of the established diagnostic criteria. The intervention was dietary pattern interventions, i.e. not single nutrient trials or supplement nutrient trials. Exercise and or medications were also considered. The control were comparison diets, fertility treatments, and or drugs. The primary outcomes were pregnancy rate, miscarriage rate, and ovulation rate. Secondary outcomes included menstrual cycle regularity, total testosterone, sex hormone binding globulin, and the free androgen index, which is calculated by dividing total testosterone with sex hormone binding globulin and expressed as a percentage. Results for binary outcomes, i.e. yes or no outcomes, including pregnancy and ovulatory cycles, were expressed as risk ratios with 95% confidence intervals. Results for continuous outcomes, e.g. testosterone, free androgen index, etc., were expressed as mean difference and 95% confidence intervals. Results. 20 randomized control trials were included in the overall analysis. Of these trials, 7 were conducted in China, 4 in Iran, 2 each in the US and Australia, and 1 each in the UK, Canada, Denmark, Egypt, and Mexico. The intervention was a low carbohydrate diet in 9 studies, a low glycemic index or glycemic load diet in 6 studies, a DASH diet in 4 studies, and a Mediterranean diet in 1 study. The duration of the studies on average were 3 to 6 months, with 4 trials lasting 8 weeks or less and 1 trial lasting 12 months. Pregnancy rates. Based on 12 trials with 740 participants, women in the dietary intervention groups had a 187% higher probability of pregnancy compared to women in the control groups. In subgroup analysis, the increase in pregnancy rate was significant for the low-carb diets and only for studies greater than 3 months in duration. Ovulation rates. Based on three trials with 192 participants, women in the dietary intervention groups had a 30% higher probability of ovulation compared to women in the control groups. In subgroup analysis, this improvement in ovulation rate was only observed in studies without calorie restriction, not with calorie restriction. Menstrual function. Based on four trials with 205 participants, women in the dietary intervention groups had a 75% higher probability of menstrual regularity compared to women in the control groups. In subgroup analysis, this return of menstrual regularity was only significant in the one study that lasted 12 months in duration. Total testosterone, sex hormone binding globulin, and the free androgen index. For total testosterone, nine studies with 412 participants showed that dietary interventions lowered total testosterone by 0.22 nanomol per liter. Subgroup analysis indicated that DASH diets, 3 to 6 months duration of intervention, and calorie restriction were all associated with a significant reduction in testosterone. Based on seven trials with 326 participants, sex hormone binding globulin increased by 7.08 nanomol per liter from dietary interventions. Subgroup analysis indicated that calorie restriction and 3 to 6 months duration of intervention showed the greatest effects. The free androgen index decreased by 1.51% with similar subgroup analysis findings to total testosterone, i.e. calorie restriction, DASH diets, 3 to 6 months duration of intervention. Anti-Müllerian hormone. Based on three trials with 190 participants, dietary interventions reduced AMH by 2.2 nanogram per milliliter compared to controls. The Ferriman-Galloway score for hirsutism, which grades hirsutism in women with PCOS, decreased by 3.91 from dietary interventions compared to controls based on two studies with 86 participants. The critical breakdown. Pros. The study appears to be the first meta-analysis to specifically investigate reproductive outcomes from dietary interventions. The inclusion criteria were clearly stated, and although not as well defined as possible, the investigators did conduct a number of subgroup analyses to determine factors that influence the main outcomes. They also conducted sensitivity analyses by removing studies at high risk of bias, and this did not influence the main outcomes. The study was pre-registered, including the planned subgroup analyses, which were all stated in the registration. Cons. The inclusion criteria permitted adjuvant use of medications and/or exercise, and it is not clear whether these factors were adjusted for in deriving the estimates of effect from the primary included studies. Thus, the effects of diet may not be entirely independent. Although it may seem like a decent number of trials, the sample sizes in the included studies were small, and the overall numbers of participants in several of the analyses is low. Some caution is required in considering some of the effect sizes. All bar one of the low-carb diets were conducted in China and may not necessarily generalize to other populations. While it is not technically incorrect to use risk ratios for dichotomous or binary outcomes, the language is misleading, and a more neutral term like probability should have been used, for example, an increased probability of pregnancy rate. They stated the miscarriage rate was reported as risk ratios, but it appears as odds ratio in the forest plots. Hence why I omitted reference to this outcome, because risk and odds are not the same. This is just shoddy reporting. Key characteristic. Specifically analyzing reproductive outcome related to diet, rather than supplements, i.e. inositol, or just hormonal markers, despite the limitations outlined above, provides a novel insight into the potential for diet to assist with fertility-related issues that arise with PCOS. Pharmaceutical treatment of ovulatory dysfunction in women with PCOS is effective, although the exact drug may differ relative to the body weight of the individual. For example, in women with PCOS and obesity, the drug Clomiphene, an estrogen receptor agonist, appears to be the most effective for infertility, while in lean women with PCOS, it appears that metformin, an insulin-sensitizing agent, is more effective than clomiphene for treating infertility. Supplementation with inositol has also shown to be a promising nutritional supplemental intervention for fertility in PCOS. Inositol exists in two forms, myo-inositol and dechiro-inositol, both of which have distinct but complementary effects on PCOS, increasing insulin sensitivity and glucose tolerance, lower androgens, and menstrual cycle regularization. Myo-inositol alone has been shown to benefit reproductive function in women with PCOS. However, while dechiro-inositol alone is not beneficial, combination supplementation of myo-inositol and dechiro-inositol administered in the physiological ratio of 40:1, myo to dechiro, may ensure better clinical results, including the reduction of insulin resistance, blood androgen levels, cardiovascular risk, and regularization of menstrual cycle with spontaneous ovulation. The present study adds to the research on available pharmacological and supplemental interventions for PCOS, indicating that dietary interventions, particularly those emphasizing moderate carbohydrate intake, more on this point under interesting finding in the next section, may also be a helpful adjuvant treatment. Interesting finding. With the PCOS research on low carbohydrate diets, indeed with any research on low carb diets, it's important to put some definitions on, quote, low carb, particularly as this is often interpreted to mean, quote, high fat. For PCOS, this may not necessarily be optimal. First, let's consider the carbohydrate levels in the primary included studies. The lowest level on average was 25 to 30% total carbohydrate intake. 4 out of 7 studies included on low carb diets had average levels of 40 to 50% carbohydrate. And crucially for considering PCOS, many of these studies also emphasized low GI GL foods, which, as we covered in a previous deep dive, lower androgen levels and insulin resistance in women with PCOS. What about the fat content of these diets? As most of these studies were conducted in China, total fat was never higher than 30% in any study. Again, this is particularly relevant for PCOS because a prior meta-analysis suggests that the greatest improvement in androgen levels and metabolic outcomes may be observed with diets of both less than 35% total fat and less than 45% total carbohydrate. Thus, it's crucial to note that low carb does not mean no carb for PCOS and does not equate to high fat diets either. Relevance. Research indicates that women with PCOS perceive a lack of control over health-related outcomes due to their condition and are more likely to express fears over their future fertility and sexual function compared to non-PCOS women with the same BMI. Thus, the present study, limitations notwithstanding, has added some value to the fairly poor quality of evidence for diet and PCOS. There are a lot of numbers thrown around in the results section, so let's put these outcomes in context. First, the increased probability of pregnancy appears to be an enormous effect size, but the confidence intervals are very wide and indicate a lot of variability and imprecision in the finding. Importantly, 74% of the statistical weight is derived from 3 studies, and each study only had 40 participants in the intervention groups. This is not to suggest that the finding of increased probability of pregnancy is invalid, merely to temper expectations with the size of the effect noted in this study. It is primarily based on 3 small trials and may be over-exaggerated. What about some of the hormonal outcomes? Normal total testosterone levels in women range from 0.5 to 2.4 nanomil per liter. So the reduction of 0.22 nanomil per liter may be clinically meaningful depending on baseline levels. Given that normal sex hormone binding globulin levels for non-pregnant women is 18 to 144 nanomol per liter, the modest increase of 7.08 nanomol may not be as relevant. However, this did occur with a decrease in the free androgen index of 1.5%, which, with a reference range of 0.18 to 7.07%, overall indicates improvements in androgen profiles in women with PCOS from dietary interventions. AMH is a marker of ovarian reserve, and elevated levels, which are observed in women with PCOS, may arrest follicular development. Estimated cutoffs for PCOS may vary from 3.5 nanogram per milliliter to 7.7 nanogram per milliliter. So the reduction of 2.2 nanogram per milliliter shown in this study may also be clinically relevant, although the caveat is that it is based on a small number of studies. Similarly, the improvement of 3.91 in the Fehrman-Galway score, which scores androgen-sensitive body areas for hair growth, 4 indicates extensive growth, and 8 or over indicates hirsutism, may also be a meaningful outcome, but is based on very limited data from only 86 participants. Application to practice. The body of evidence for nutrition interventions in PCOS remains dominated by small trials, low statistical power, and varying consistency in effects, and the size of those effects. We are often left to caveat every finding. However, the overall body of evidence does indicate that dietary and supplemental interventions may be effective for reproductive fertility-related outcomes in PCOS. The data on inositol was established prior to the publication of the present meta-analysis, and this is a low-hanging fruit as a supplement with minimal risk profile. Obviously, it goes without saying that pharmacological treatments are outside our scope, unless you're a medical professional, of course, but it is always helpful for nutrition professionals to be aware of available treatments if working with women in this area. At this juncture, we certainly have more consistent evidence that dietary interventions improve the hormonal aspects of PCOS, in particular elevated insulin and androgens. And we understand the relationship between these risk factors and infertility in PCOS. The present study suggests that the likelihood of, quote, hard outcomes such as menstrual regularity and achieved pregnancy may also be improved with diet.